As our study continues, we're still in the second book of Samuel, chapter 3, and ready to begin at the 20th verse. In this passage, the kingdom is still divided. David is reigning in Hebron over the tribe of Judah, and Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, is reigning over the rest of the tribes. And the man who is backing Ishbosheth, who's giving him all of his power and strength, is Abner, who used to be the captain of the army of Saul. He has now had a falling out with Ishbosheth. He has now turned against him, and he's made an approach to David over in Hebron to come over to David's side, and he says that he can reunite the whole kingdom under David. So David accepts his offer. He makes an agreement with him, and Abner has already had communication with the elders of Israel, and he gives a very elaborate reason and argument for them to come on now and to let David be their king. He says, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it. For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David will I save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies." So Abner is being effective now in uniting the kingdom under David. And Abner also spake in the ears of Benjamin. And Abner went also to speak in the ears of David and Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So now he's making a reconciliation between the tribe of Benjamin and David. So we're ready to begin now at the 20th verse. So Abner came to David to Hebron and 20 men with him, and David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. So now there is quite an agreement between David and Abner. Although Abner has fought against David, Abner has been opposed to him. Now that he has had this change, now that he's had this disagreement with Ishbosheth, he now is wanting to assist David. And he is a man of a lot of power, a lot of influence. He has served Israel quite well in the past, and David has a tremendous amount of respect for him. And I'm sure that David feels the need for this kind of help. That David feels that now that this man who's been so opposed to him and who has had such a great sway over the rest of the nation, this man being on his side, this man wanting to assist him in assuming his rightful reign as the one king over all Israel, would be of a very valuable aid to him. So he made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, "I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thy heart desirest." So Abner now at this feast further agrees with David. He says, "I'm going to go and gather all Israel unto my lord the king. I'm going to use all of my influence. I'm going to travel this land from one end to the other. I'm going to get every last tribe, every last elder to agree that you should be the king." And so we can see what a great promise this was, and also what a tremendous boon it would be to David in assisting him in uniting the kingdom to have this man Abner work for him like he says he's going to do it. Now, Abner does call him my lord the king. He does recognize that David is the rightful king. All that he's done up to now in opposing David has been wrong. He recognizes David is the king, but he does seem to insinuate that not only had David been anointed king, and not only was it God's will for him to be king, but that David greatly wanted to be king, because he says, "over all that thine heart desireth," as though this was something that David had a great desire for also. And of course, if it's what God wanted, then David should have had a desire to be king. So the last sentence of verse 21 says, "And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." So now we have a great league made between these two great leaders. These are the two greatest men in the land at the time. Abner seems to have maybe more sway even than David at the present because of his political clout. But they now have peace among themselves. David sent Abner away and he went in peace. Abner's going on a great mission for the nation. But beginning in verse 22, we're going to see where a turn is taken in the story. "And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them." Here comes a part of the army in, and it's being led by Joab, it seems. They came from pursuing a troop. We don't know whether they were pursuing other enemies, like the Philistines, or whether they were pursuing a part of the forces of Saul under the guise of Ishbosheth being their king, they were pursuing some kind of an enemy to the kingdom of David. And they brought in a great spoil with them. They'd just been victorious, and they'd captured what's described here as a great spoil. But Abner was not with David in Hebron. Abner had already left. He'd been sent away on his mission, been sent away in peace. For he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he's gone in peace." So Joab didn't know anything about this defection of Abner. He didn't know that Abner had come over onto the side of David, and he's just now learning about it. Remember now, Joab is the nephew of David. He is the son of David's sister. And, of course, we also have to remember that Abner had recently slain the brother of Joab. This brother's name was Asahel. It had happened in a battle that the forces of David had had with the forces that Abner led. And, of course, Abner was defeated. Asahel pursued after him. Abner begged him and pleaded him with him not to pursue after him. And in his own self-defense, then Abner was forced to kill Asahel by thrusting the back end of his spear under the fifth rib. But Joab has a very deep hatred for Abner because he has killed his brother. And regardless of the good service that Abner is going to do, regardless of the fact that he can be of such a great benefit to David, Joab's hatred overrules all of his good judgment concerning Abner. So they learn, Joab and his men learn, that Abner has been there, that he's made peace with the king, and that he's gone away on this mission. Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done?" Now here, Joab is a man of such strength in the kingdom. He has such a high position that he can approach the king himself face to face, and he can upbraid the king for some action that he's done. And he comes to David and he says, "What hast thou done? What do you mean by this? Don't you realize what a foolish act this is? What have you done? Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away and he's quite gone? You had a chance to capture Abner. You had a chance to make him a prisoner or to put him to death, and now you've let him go. You've let him escape. What do you mean by that? What a foolish act. What a sign of weakness on your part that you let the greatest enemy in the land get away from you." And he further says, "Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest." He simply came to spy on you. He came to deceive you. He's not going to live up to his agreement. And so we see that Joab just takes matters into his own hands. He tells David that he, in effect, has been a fool, that he has made a very bad and poor decision, that he has not done his rightful duty by treating Abner the way that he has. Now we know that Joab is wrong. David is right. David has good reason to use this man Abner. And he is making the best use that he can of Abner's ability and Abner's defection from Ishbosheth. But Joab is blinded by his hatred. He hates Abner so much because he put his brother to death that all he can see is that Abner is bad. Every action of Abner is interpreted as being something bad, something wrong, something wicked, something that's going to do the kingdom hurt. Now, whether Joab really believes this or not, we're not real clear, but he is certainly saying it in no uncertain terms to David. He's saying it to David's face, and he's saying it in such a way that it makes David look like that he has used poor judgment and is being upbraided for it by Joab. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. Now Joab certainly takes matters into his own hands here. Without David's knowledge, he sends messengers to bring Abner back. Now they no doubt tell Abner some kind of a lie, that it's necessary for him to come back to Hebron, maybe that David wants to see him. And so they have him to turn around and come back. David knows nothing about this, but Joab has plans of his own, which are so much different from what David would have done. Verse 27, "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother." So we see here that Joab murders Abner. He does it under guise of getting vengeance on the blood of his brother that Abner had slain shortly before this. And we'd like to notice several things about this. Some have said that Joab is slaying Abner under the law that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that is not true, because that law was only used by the judges. Once a person had been wronged and he went to a judge with the matter, then the judge could apply the punishment to the wrongdoer to be equal to what his wrong was, that being that of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The individual did not have any right to invoke that law of an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. That was only to be done by the judges. So this is not the reason that Joab uses for killing Abner. He uses the reason that he was avenging the blood of his brother. Now, the law did provide for a person to avenge the blood of a relative or a close friend. Even though they had been killed accidentally, they could be avenged. And the one who was guilty of doing the murder or the accidental death, whichever it might be, could immediately flee to a city of refuge. And if he got there before the avenger took vengeance on him, then he was safe in the city of refuge. He would have a trial, and if he were guilty, of course, he'd be punished for it. If he were innocent, then he would have to continue to live in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest, because any time he left this city, the avenger could take vengeance upon him and kill him. And so that's the rule that Joab is appealing to here, that he did it for the vengeance of the death of his brother. But we see that that is not applicable. First of all, Abner, when he slew Asahel, he did it in a situation of battle. Asahel was pursuing after him, and he was begging and pleading Asahel to turn back. And he told him that he didn't want to have to kill him. He told him that he didn't want to have to do him any wrong. And Asahel continued to pursue after him, and so he killed him in self-defense in a situation of battle. So Joab really didn't have a right to take vengeance upon Abner for the death of his brother. But we see that he did use a very similar method to slay Abner, that Abner used to slay Asahel, Joab's brother. He smote him under the fifth rib. And that's right where the handle of the spear went into Asahel. It went under the fifth rib and came out his back. And so we know that Joab is really, in his own heart, he's getting vengeance for the death of his brother. Now, this was a wicked act on the part of Joab. He went against the wishes of David. He went against what looked like at this time to be the very best interest of the kingdom. He did this out of an evil intent in his own heart. He wasn't really serving the interest of the government at all. He didn't have the sanction of David to do this. And so he does a very wicked, murderous act. But let's notice another thing about this, that Abner probably had justice done to him. Abner was a man who had turned against David, who had opposed him. He'd done much harm to the kingdom. He'd been very effective in keeping this kingdom divided, in giving the boost of power to Ishbosheth, and wrongly taking the reign of the total government of the land away from David. Now that he'd gotten mad at Ishbosheth, he'd been accused of having this affair with the concubine of Saul, and this made him angry. He switched sides. He turned over to the side of David. And so we see that he was a man that was out to serve his own best interests, whatever they were. He didn't have the best interests of the kingdom at heart, actually. He was doing whatever seemed to be best to him for his own personal satisfaction. And so he had done much wrong to the kingdom. He had been against the will of God. He had opposed the things that God stood for and the things that God wanted to happen to this government. And so now we see that he's getting judgment done to him. Even though Joab is doing it in a murderous way, still God has ways of working out and bringing about his will, and bringing about the justice that must go with sin. And Abner certainly was a man that was filled with sin. So we have several aspects then to this situation of Joab killing Abner. We'd like to also notice the fact that even if Joab had been truly using this law that he was avenging the death of his brother, if he'd been using that law as a reason to kill Abner, he would not have been justified. Because this was done at Hebron. Hebron was not only a Levitical city, but it was also a city of refuge. So Abner was in the very place that would have protected him from having anyone getting vengeance upon him as a result of him killing Asahel. So Joab was not justified in any sense in what he did. Well, let's notice in verse 28 what effect this has on David. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, "I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner." So David disclaims any credit or any involvement in the death of Abner. And we can see how this is a very critical time for David. David was in a position now of using Abner to help him unite the kingdom. Abner was now working for him. Abner had been set up on a mission by him. And Abner had contact with all the elders of the rest of the land, and he was persuading them that they should now follow David. And so here this murder of Abner came at a very inopportune time. It may look to some of the other elders of the land, some of the other tribes, as though Abner had been betrayed and Abner had been murdered when he really was now supposedly in a state of friendship, in a state of peace with David, and David gone back on his agreement. And so this really put David in a bad light. And it seemed to maybe jeopardize the prospect that David had of uniting this kingdom. Here a very valuable person in the work of uniting the kingdom had been lost. Abner, a man of great influence, a man of great talent, even though he had wickedness, even though he was following his own ends and didn't regard the will of God, he was a powerful tool to be used by David, at least so David thought. And it looked like to the rest of the people that maybe David had now betrayed him and been a part of this murder. So David said, "I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. I had no intention of having this happen. I didn't have any part of it. I'm free of it. I'm guiltless. And because I am guiltless, then also my kingdom is guiltless. Do not hold this against us. Do not use this as some means to accuse us of wrongdoing, because we had no part of it." And he further says in verse 29, "Let it rest on the head of Joab and all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or one that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on a sword, or that lacketh bread." This is the fault of Joab. This is the fault of Joab's house, his father's house. And as a result of this treacherous act of Joab, as a result of Joab going against me and sinning against this kingdom and against God and doing something that he should not have done, then let punishment come upon the offspring of Joab, upon Joab's house. Let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, some kind of a disease, some kind of a sickness, some kind of a bleeding, or that is a leper. They can be punished with leprosy also. Or that leaneth on a staff, some kind of weakness, some kind of infirmity. Or that falleth on the sword, that is, they'll be killed by violence, by war, by murder, falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. They'll be in a state of poverty, a state of in which they do not have enough to eat. So we see then that David is not only disclaiming responsibility for this murder of Abner, but he's placing it squarely upon the shoulders of Joab, Joab's family, and here he is pronouncing a curse on the family of Joab because of this. Verse 30, "So Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle." So this verse 30 is just declaring a fact. Joab and his brother slew Abner. Now, Abishai is not mentioned as being active in the slaying of him, but he no doubt was there. He knew about it, and he was ready to assist. And he might have even been part of the deception that led Abner into this vulnerable situation of being slain, so that he bears the guilt along with Joab. Now, their true reason for doing it was because Abner had killed their brother at Gibeon in the battle, but they didn't have a legal reason for it. They couldn't use the rule of avenging the death of their brother, for, as we've already pointed out, that did not apply in this situation. Now, although David deeply regrets this act of Joab and Abishai, he is powerless to do anything about it. They are so strong. They have such a firm base in this kingdom of his that he really can't do anything about it. He can't bring about justice at this time. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David himself followed the bier. So as at the funeral of Abner, David follows behind the casket. He is one of the chief mourners at the funeral of Abner. And he has Joab to do the same thing. He said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth," so that there is a very great mourning now for this loss of Abner. And we're going to see that David makes a speech, a very eloquent speech, at this funeral of Abner, which we'll have in our next lesson. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And instead of having his body taken back to the area of Benjamin, he was buried in this city of David, Hebron. Well, we're going to conclude at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.